Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jyeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrinvanuti Bhisidasatanam Om Shri Maha Ganapataye Namaha Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankara Vavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjitaha Magridah Kasya Svidhanam. So good morning, everybody. So, in this Upanishad, as we'd mentioned, the two first verses are giving the whole picture of what's being talked about. These are the Sutravakya. Sutravakyam is the gives the essence. We know we've heard of sutras before, where it gives really just the essence. And then the rest is what's called Vrittivakya, where it expounds on it. There's a third. Vritti is when it expounds just a small exposition on it. There's also another term, which I don't know the name of it, where it gives, you know, expounds a lot on it. That's when you read, that's what we do in the class, expounding even further. Like the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad will be a much larger exposition on it like this. So in this way, where the first verse we said, this is giving the vision of Vedanta. This Ishavasamidam, that gives everything. One person, I think it might have been Rabindranath Tagore, I think he's the one who said that if all of the literature was lost, all of the literature on this vision was lost, but only this one verse, Ishavasamidam Sarvam, was left, then everything would come from that. Because the seed, it's when it's in seed form, everything else comes out from that, like this, a very interesting idea. So, in any case, what we had been discussing, again today we'll conclude the second verse, and then from next week, actually not next week, in 2 weeks, because next week you have holiday, time off, enjoy with family and everything. So, after this, for some time, for like 3rd till 8th or so of the verses, we'll expound on the Vedantic vision, and then afterwards expound on the second part, in the Karma Yoga vision. And as we said, the first verse is really showing the bar. What is the Vedantic vision? And we said this is something that's the bar. It's not that in order to get there, I'm going to try to pull it down, lower the bar in order to go beyond it, you know, because it's very easy to lower the bar, but then I don't really get to what I want to get to, like this. So, okay, so then you'll have a certificate saying this person is a pandit, this person is a jnani. Very good. You know, you can probably find places that you can do an online course and it'll give you a certificate. Like, you know, I have a certificate and so do another probably 15, 20,000 people. Yoga Shiromani, right? 1 month yoga teacher training course. I actually lost my original one. I don't know how. I couldn't find it anywhere like this. You know, mine is probably number 3,000 or 2,000 something because, you know, 1989, not as many done then. But in any case, okay, so you're a crest jewel of yogis. What is, you know, okay, so I have a certificate because I did a 1 month yoga teacher training course. Now maybe after all these years, maybe a little bit can teach a little bit something like this. somebody used to come for classes in Berkeley, a Japanese lady. She also does the Japanese tea ceremony. So she said when they do that, I don't remember if it was 20 or 25 years. I think it was 20 years. After 20 years, you're considered that, okay, now you know something and you can maybe teach. So then I was maybe, you know, getting close to the 20 years of this. Okay, soon I'm going to. But in any case, so that we can do, but lowering the bar doesn't really help. It's kind of like, okay, that's the bar that we have to reach to. One big thing with the Vedantic vision, just to understand it takes a lot, really, because it's a very subtle vision. And the example we give so much, because Vijayji, where I learned, he gives this a lot, is, you know, like the E equals MC squared, we can just say it, but then to really understand what it's talking about will take a lot more of study. But in any case, so that was the bar, and then the Shruti, the Upanishad, says, okay, if this one you aren't able to do that, live up to that, here's what you can do, lowering the bar, not as lowering the bar for, you know, not getting to that, but as the preparation. What can I do to prepare? And as Shankara says in here, Adiguru Shankara, a lot of the times he's referred to as Bhashyakara, right? Bhashyakara, because he's the one who wrote the Bhashyas on these Upanishads. And this is just like, you know, you have a guru, you don't say Mr. So-and-so, you know, you say Guruji or something like this, you know, or people to parents or grandparents in a similar way. So this way also, out of respect for him, a lot of times he's just referred to like this, because just reading the text directly is not going to be easy to do. It's obscure and hard to grasp. That's why it goes the layer of through his bhashya, and then also through shravanam, through teaching, because of this subtlety. And so in this way is referred to. So because this really opens the door for us to have more understanding of it. But in any case, at the beginning he was talking about how karma and jnana are totally diametrically opposite. Because karma, any action, has to do with the individual. So there has to be ajnana, has to be ignorance for me to do anything. For me to actually do something, I have to identify as the limited being and then do it. Otherwise, how can I do it? Like this. So, and jnana is just a clear understanding of myself as being. Clear understanding. So they can't go together. It doesn't work. Because what does jnana say? I'm a karta, a bhokta. I'm not doer, not enjoyer. Enjoyer meaning experiencer. Because enjoyment doesn't just mean here, the enjoyer doesn't mean just that what I like I'm enjoying, but experiencing both through likes and dislikes, right? So that I'm neither of these. So how can I be that and then, you know, and then go for a walk to clear my head? Doesn't work. So as a preparation, okay, now I see myself as karta, as doer. What can I do to prepare then is make the karta as thin it out as much as possible. This is what this next verse that we were discussing last time is talking about. How to do the action so they are, as we would call, my activity will be Vedantic friendly, meaning as a preparation. Just like the Olympiad will, when they're training, they're going to have an Olympics friendly lifestyle. Their diet's going to be strict, right? They're not going to go out partying with their friends. They're going to be going to bed early. They're going to be getting up early and training, all this kind of stuff. So something friendly so that they can, you know, focus on what they're doing properly. So here also, the same thing is discussed. So that verse, let's chant it again, the second verse here, which we've been discussing. Kurvanneveha karmani jijivishechatagum samaha evantvainanyathetosti nakarmalipyate nare. So Indeed, by doing karma, one should wish to live in this world for 100 years. There is no other way other than this for you, whereby action will not bind you. So the issue here is not to be caught up in the karma bhokta, action and result cycle. Because as long as I'm caught up in that, how am I going to look deeper at it? You know, right now, if I want to look subtly at something, if my mind is worried about something or expecting something, I can't focus in it as well. It's not possible. This is one thing I also found is when studying Vedanta, you know, when you're sitting in a class in person, you can't be multitasking because, you know, you're just there. But when doing it in other, when you're in charge, like doing it remotely or doing it through video or recording, it's very easy also to be multitasking. Even if you're in a class, the book can be there, I can be reading other commentary at the same time. I notice if I'm doing it and I multitask, it's, you know, 50% gone. Because your attention's split and you're trying to focus on something subtle. It's trying to point out subtle things about yourself. When you're occupied something else, it doesn't work. It's not, you know, maybe in some topics you can kind of get away with it. Here it really hinders. I was told that, and my experience works with that too. It really does get in the way. Because the thing is, that's the jnana karma thing. Because how it doesn't work, because then I'm doing something else, I'm a karta. While I'm doing something else and focusing some of my attention on that, pointing at I'm a karta, I'm not doer. How's that going to work? So what the trick is, I learn the other way around has to be done. I learn how I'm a karta, how I'm sakshi, I'm the observer. And as I do things, I try to observe, remain the observer. It's the other way around. This has to be taken into the activities, not vice versa. So this one is saying, okay, the Upanishad said, what can you do? Then you have to do the karmas. And here, when it's saying karma here, it doesn't mean any kind of action. As we discussed last time, it means nitya karma, what is needed to be done. Meaning, we have certain actions that are going to be disturbing my growth completely. Those are ones that if I need to hide that I'm doing it one way or the other, meaning something that I don't think is good or like this, then that's something I have to, or that bites my conscience. Those are things I know that have to be dropped. The nishiddha karmas, things that are in any way unethical, moral, this, they're the enemies because they pull me away from this. So those are the first casualties that really need to be taken away. Then afterwards, next thing that's left is my kamya karmas. This is again review a bit what we discussed last time. Kamya karma, if it's something that is done, which is totally, you know, not against any moral rules, not against any laws, not hurting anybody, and then it's not a problem. You know, I like to eat nice food in this, I like to go as sightseeing, you know, all these things, I like to get an expensive bicycle, whatever it is, doesn't matter. It's perfectly fine. But what happens is, it's not going to degrade me or pull me down, but it's not going to help my further growth. It's kind of like, okay, you can jump over 1 meter, 25 seconds high jump. This is not going to teach you to jump over 1.5 meters. It's not going to help you. Okay, maybe you keep practicing, go to 120, 130, 135, but to the 150, you're not going to help you get to that mark jumping, because it's maybe not counterproductive for living a more life and a balanced life in this, but it, for a deeper view, what happens is there is a trap in the kamya, in the desire. Because desire is based on, it thickens my idea that I'm this individual. Because it means around this individual. So that's why that one has to slowly be reduced. Because here the karma talking about nitya karma, meaning what's needed to be done, not what I like to do. And a very detailed illustration of this, we'd mentioned, comes in the Kathopanishad, where the teacher, Lord Yama is telling Nachiketas, the student, he's actually testing him, and Nachiketas is saying, no, I don't want anything else, I just want this knowledge. And then Lord Yama is teaching afterwards, saying there's two paths you can go, Shreyomarga and Preyomarga, right? One is path of what is good and what is pleasant. Preyo, what is, you know, what's pleasant for me. And Shreyo, what is good for me, right? It's pleasant, it's cold, and this, and to stay in bed till late, right? I don't want to get up. And it's better for me to get up early, better if my mind is fresh, I can meditate better then, I create a better samskara in my mind, less lazy, and use the early morning for spiritual practice, like this. So there's both of those paths. And both of those paths are something that every moment I face, every moment I have choices. And you'll say, well, sometimes they align. They'll say very, very rarely they align, really. So it doesn't mean that now I'm perfected in it, but it means I have to slowly learn how, you know, less kamya karma, more just my duty, what's needed. Because the thing, kamya karma means I'm looking for a certain result, certain pala. That means a desire. You know, if I'm going out of my way because I want to get a certain dish or a certain enjoyment of certain thing, it's for a certain result. It's not just, you know, if just with going around with no aim, no this, let it be that, then, you know, that's not even, there's no focus, so that's not even being discussed here. So in this way, the important point then is, you know, that's slowly that has to be reduced, and reduced through understanding, not through... What happens is when we take on some sort of discipline without understanding, when something is just through, you know, through blind following or suppression, it's not going to last as much. But the more through understanding, then it makes it, it will be, you know, it'll make it clear, where do I want to go, like this, in this way. And what happens when I do things, okay, why am I doing? And one of the important points is, okay, what is desire? Okay, I want to do something. I want to enjoy a certain thing. What does it mean? Why do I want to enjoy it? What is it? And we don't go and think about it. It's just nice. I feel like doing, and I feel good from it. So why not? Perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. What happens is, first of all, in order to want, to have that want, and the stronger the desire is, meaning the more I feel I'm constricted, and the more I feel now I'm dependent on that in order to feel good. This is what happens. And what is that? And what is that? It's just a whim. It's really a whim in the mind. It becomes a stronger force because of habit that I, you know, that I do again and again. And then that force is strong, that it's hard not to, you know, I try just to drop off one desire, how much the mind fights and wants to keep it. It's very interesting. So really seeing that I have to see myself as this limited being, and that this one is not full and will only be fulfilled if I get that, and the mind will fight for it, and then, okay, I give in, and then, okay, but I see it works. Look, now I feel calm. I was agitated before, now I feel good, very good. But the thing is, it works, but it works for how long? And then I become dependent on that. This is what happens. So this is the doing just as what's needed, like this. This is slowly to put the oil on, like something that you want to pull out a screw from somewhere, and it's rust and gotten stuck there. You put in oil, let it settle for some time. It makes it a little bit easier to remove it. So this is what happens. The action, I want to see, I'm a karta, a bhokta. So karma yoga, to slowly put in the oil, loosen it up. This is what it is. And again, it's something that the two things are needed. One, to put into practice, but second is analysis. Because people say, just stick to the path. That's good. It's true. But also, you do it intelligently as well. Understand, because if I really look in and analyze and understand, okay, you know, there's something I really want. Okay, just think in my mind, okay, what if I don't get that or do it? What'll happen after some time? Nothing. No big deal. So I'll still have my old car, so I'll fix it a little bit and that's it. Okay, what's the big deal? And then, if I think of, okay, let me say that I go and I get it and I do everything this. Okay, great, I'll enjoy so much. And then what, after a little while? Back to square one, I'll be again, same place. So then what? Right, there's one Buddhist teacher I once heard talking, and he talks about being present in everything. So he said, okay, you work very, you're sitting in your house. You have a small house, you're sitting there quietly. Very good. The idea, I want the big house like this comes in, and it keeps disturbing you. So you work very hard. You get a big house. You get after a lot of work and toil and this. Now you sit in the big house quietly. Okay. Now what? So in this way, one has to observe these things, and then slowly through understanding them, some discipline, of course, yes, needed. It's not the no discipline needed, but it's understanding is very helpful. This one story many of you know about Ganesha and his brother Skanda. This one time, my guru told me directly, just to me, so this I like very much. So what happens is that Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati, they had one very nice fruit. So they were going told their two sons they're going to have a competition. Whoever can go around the world, all the way around, come back first, is going to get this special fruit, like this prize, competition. So Lord Subramanya, he jumps on his peacock and goes flying away very fast so he can win the race, right? Now Lord Ganesha, who's, eats a lot of the sweets, so he's very heavy, has his big belly. And his vehicle well knows the small mouse. Now he looks at the mouse, what is he going to do? Where can he, how can he stand a chance in going like this? Like somebody that wants to just stay home because of this pandemic and win the election where somebody's running around making a lot of noise. But in any case, so that what he did, he took the vehicle, he took his vehicle, held on to, and he walked three times around his parents, right? He prostrated, said, "You're the whole world for me," like this. And they were very happy, so they gave him the fruit. And after a while, Lord Subramanya gets back and he's very upset. How come? He didn't even go anywhere and I ran all the way around the world like this. So meaning, here, because Ganesha is very wise like this. So in this way, being wise is, yes, I have desire because I don't feel I'm not totally content and happy. Yes. But fulfilling my desires, has that really fulfilled me? No, it hasn't. Let me, again, read the beginning of the Kathopanishad where Lord Yama and Nachiketas, how much he offers him everything he can want and anything anybody could want. And he says, well, good, but that'll go away, it'll seem after such a short time, and then what? Right? And then what? And what happens is, but then I'm bound by, because then I want more. That's what happens. People say, I don't want rebirth. Well, if I have desire for something, it's kind of like I buy thing, I go to the store and buy a lot of sweets or tasty food and this and bring home. Okay, I don't want any more. But I keep wanting to go and get more. Of course, I'll go back to it. I keep wanting to go back, right? So I don't want to be reborn, but I want to get things. Well, if you want to get more, you have to come back. How are you going to get more if you don't come back? So it's not that it'll just fall off with that, but with understanding. So here saying, okay, through action, learn to do the action in a way that it won't bind you. And as a process, like one thing you can do, people take New Year's resolutions, right? Try instead of the other things, say, okay, this year, I'm going to learn to do more and more of my actions as Karma Yoga, learn, be present, analyze, do what's needed, and less just because what I want, what I feel like doing, what I'll just enjoy. So you know, because process of letting it go like this, in this way. This is what's saying here, learn to do the actions this way, then slowly as I do and keep analyzing, looking at it, and actually see how you feel. When you do actions, really just being present, what's needed to be done, just this, you actually feel much better because a lot of the burden is gone. The vigata-jvaraha, this is one of the ways in activity that Lord Krishna says in Gita is without fervor, because he'll fight with fervor, meaning he's wanting the result. He's having strong desire for result. But then you can't just be, if you're really just present doing the action, you'll do best as you can. First of all, the result will be even better, because if you're too confused about focusing, like if you've exam in school, like Aaron Moll, if you're very worried what will be result with, if you just do focus well, study well, sleep well day before, do some pranayama before some mind is present, just do real well this moment and done. If you're all worried about what the result is going to be, it'll take away your peace now. So there's fervor. It's like a fever, right? Fever means you're not well. So just doing it like that. Kurvan, as we said, here, present now. So doing actions now like this. And it makes it much simpler also, because desires are endless. If I want one thing, tomorrow I'm going to, that's going to bring, that one desire will bring its friends. Tomorrow will be 10 things, right? Then afterwards it'll be 50 things, never ends. There's no end to it. And just duty, what's needed, then it's much, makes it much simpler again. And again, we're not saying this bar is low. It's like if 2 meters is jumping over 2 meters is for the Atmajnana. So let's say it's 1 meter 70, says 170, 175. So it is, you know, it's not, nobody said it's going to be just a quick thing, but something to strive for. If I try to live as Karma Yoga and I start and I look into Vedanta, slowly can make my attention can go more towards that. And then I analyze, because I see my life then as a good training ground for it. If it's, in order to gather as much enjoyment as I can, then it's a different story. But here, training ground for something higher, can look at it that way. This is an important thing, how we do this. And he's also saying, here, the Veda is saying, this is how you can go through, learn how to do the action without being caught up in it. And this is the only way you can do it. There is, find another way. Because other way, what other way will there be? Right? Here. Evam tvai na anyate ataha asti. Actually, na anyata itaha asti is going to how it's going to be. There isn't another way here to do it. You know, if there were a few ways, there's some places where it gives us a few options how to do it.
No.
There's some places where Krishna gives Arjuna, if you can't do this like this. We're saying if you really want to, if you want to just keep enjoying things of the world, fine, no problem. But if you want to, get into the self-knowledge, then there isn't another way to do this, because otherwise it's going to be more to kartritvam, bhoktritvam, the doership, enjoyership just gets thickened. Just identifying with that. This is what happens. So this is these are the points he's giving here. And some other things about this. Try some of the time, really just sit and see, okay, I do actions, right? Naturally, we're doing a lot of activity. Why am I doing? What's impelling me? What for? Really look at it. First of all, if you look at it slowly, you have to become more sakshi, which is one nice thing. And then really see, okay, so what is it? A lot of the actions we're doing out of habit, because I'm just used to doing. I'm doing because mind is bored, meaning it wants something else interesting, wants entertainment. What's wrong with just, what? What's wrong with just being like this? and I feel constrained. I need to think something else will fulfill me. I'm just restless in this way. So a lot of the things, you know, I feel insecure, so I need something in order to. So really just to look and see what is impelling me like this. This is a very good exercise to do some of the time. Really watch and see. And then if I'm observing, much easier than to have the viveka and say, okay, this type of action will be a more useful thing to do. This one won't be as useful like this. So this is one thing one can do to really observe oneself. Very, very helpful. You can find like this. So this is one thing you can do like this. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is, so the activity here is used then. The activity can be used for different ends. And also looking the far end. What is it that I'm doing this for? Okay, for feeling happier because of fulfilling desire, one thing. For feeling more secure, okay. Again, it doesn't mean everything is totally, you totally turn the tap off in that. Maybe I'm not able to, so good. So I do some simple things, you know. Once in a while, some simple thing, no big deal. Okay, so you want a cup of tea. Save a cup of tea, not the end of the world. Like this. Okay, so what is the end? What am I trying to do by doing this? A little more secure. Okay, some need it, some money needed, some security needed. Okay, enough. Well, how much more do I need like this? And then, where am I trying to get to with this in long run, not just short term? Kind of like savings is one reason compared to just whatever money's there I spend. Or being disciplined to study so that I can learn something and I can know it or I can have a profession with it compared to just doing what I enjoy. So in longer term, what am I trying to get to? Not just in shorter term. So in longer term, where am I trying to reach? So in the end, this way, karma yoga means that the action is done for chitta shuddhi, for purification of the mind in this way. This is what is the action slowly should be used for this. And then the activity can be done. My duty is used for that. And the more my shift is towards that, then whatever action, whatever duty I have is fine. Doesn't matter because I use it for this specific thing. And really, the external circumstance, then what difference does it make? You know, duty is duty, what I need to do. And the external circumstance, some temporary situation which can help me to grow. Because identifying with the external situation means that I am bhokta, I'm enjoyer, I'm identifying with the temporary result of something that will be there for a short time and be gone. Any result, any time, will be there for unknown time and before you know it, disappears. So this way I'm holding on to that. Now in the Gita also, expanding on this, Lord Krishna also says, but also don't get attached to just being inactive, inaction, because if you really observe activity, what to do, anything, so I won't do. Now, if this is due to viveka, I have clarity, I'm just being, and there's nothing really needed, there's not a problem, then from that perspective, no action is needed. But if there's any tinge of not ready to deal with things, out of laziness, out of not, this is tamas, not ready to face, that's why Gita tells him fight. Always says Arjuna fight, because Arjuna isn't out of jnana not wanting to fight, but out of confusion and out of attachment and all of this. So then duty should be done like this. So it's kind of like you can to see it, can I just not do? You can give yourself take the bar test. The bar test here, raise the bar to Ramana Maharshi bar and say, okay, then nothing. I won't do anything. And then, okay, but it's getting cold. I should get a jacket. I should go inside. No, I'm not doing anything. There might be dogs or something, or so who knows who's outside at night. I'm sitting outside. No, I'm not doing anything. Right? I'm hungry. No, the food will come if it comes. Not then, okay. But if I can't do that, means, okay, I should still do some actions. So I should do my duty like this. So, yes, some of the time, yes, to introspect, we should... we shouldn't get workaholic, actionaholic. I just have to do action. Yes, some of the time drop, some of the time just to introspect and know, yes, it's very good. We have to do it. Have to take time to introspect in this. So this is, But and then I can observe how, you know, what is impelling me to do activity. It's very subtle, but what is really impelling? I'll tell you one thing, if you really observe what is impelling me to do activity, you know, when you're introspecting, you get some insights that maybe you can't live with, you're not living up to them all the time because the mind still, you know, isn't total citta shuddhi, totally pure, gets overcast some of the time. But you see, you're not impelled to do. The mind is doing stuff, but you're not impelled to do anything because you're the sakshi, you're the observer. It's the mind that's doing the stuff. But in order to really get caught up in something, you know, strong desire for anything or strong impulse for anything, you have to identify with the mind. If you don't identify with the mind, why would there be any strong impulse for anything? This is the thing. So this is also goes hand in hand with this in this way of action. So again, this is then the preparation, how we can do, how we can live our life in order to be prepared for the Vedantic vision like this. This is some points on this. Let me see if any other real important points here. One other thing here we discussed, but we'll just bring up again in the verse it says desirous of living, doing actions, desirous of living 100 years, but really the way it's seen is to live a full life, 100 years full life, may you live a full life, Shruti is saying, and, you know, desirous of doing action, desirous of doing action, duty for purification of mind. This is really desirous of having my life filled with karma yoga like this, so that it prepares. And any field that I have can be turned into that. I'll tell you a nice example. When I was at our Shivananda Center in New York, then I used to go half a block away to the end of the block to deposit money in our bank when I was a young staff there. And so I'd go there. And so, you know, you get to know the tellers because the same people there every day. So one lady there, it's Caribbean, something like this background. So they know I'm coming from yoga center, you know, coming some of the time having dot on the, you know, nowadays probably if I'd walk in New York like this, nobody would look. But this is, you know, in the early 90s. So not too many people would walk around with a kurta or with this. But sometimes I'd have that walking to the bank, forgetting it. I'd tell people, why didn't you tell me I'm going out with this? Because it probably looks strange for some people. So we're proselytizing because we're telling people, come to yoga, come, it's good for you. So in the bank, the teller there that I'd always deposit, I said, oh, come, we have yoga open house. She was always very cheerful. She said, this is my yoga. Imagine working in the bank is your yoga, like this. So what you're doing, whatever your field of action, it can be. Of course, some fields may not be as conducive for it, and then maybe somebody, you know, does work to get out of it, but it's not necessarily having to change the external circumstance. Within the circumstance, we can do it. That same bank, there was one elderly beggar, African-American fellow, who used to be outside there. And I'd see him, and, you know, when I go, and then I noticed how many people he'd be chatting with, so many people. And people call him Pops. And then I used to start talking whenever I go to the bank. He was if you take a positive thinking book and just, you know, he was like that, always very cheerful. And when he'd be chatting with people, they'd be feeling so good, you know, all these nice ideas he's giving them. So somebody in that situation was giving people a cheer just like this. So there also was doing such a wonderful service what he was doing there. Very nice. After some time, they got a security guard at the bank, and not letting beggars and hang out there. But, you know, he was so friendly, they let him stay. He outlasted three of the security guards like this. So in this way, the walk of life I have, then, wherever I'm at, still can be done as karma yoga like this. And so using life in this way as a good preparation for this, in this way. So this is, and actually, what happens with karma yoga then, there's a karta bhokta chain. I do something because I want to have a certain result. Then a result is there. I do another action either because I want to maintain it, or I want to get something more from it, or I want to get rid of it. So I'm karta because I'm bhokta. I'm bhokta because I'm karta. Doer-enjoyership chain, non-stop. So if when you have a chain, if you break one link, the chain is broken. So karma yoga is saying, okay, do action, be totally present now. No reason then. Where's the next? There isn't next result. And of course, one of the ways to do it, you do it as an offering to the God who offers, so the result isn't mine. That's a way not to say the result is mine, but also just being present what I'm doing now and doing what's needed, then I'm not just going, trying to get a specific, holding on to the result. There is a focus, otherwise how will I do an action? But then, that I'm not grasping onto that only, then it frees me, then it helps to free. For mine is freer, more present, easier for me to inquire further like this. This is really the crux of it. So these are some of the points about this. And then again, as we'll go on in the text, the latter part of the text, we'll go a little bit more into this. And when he talks, he's going to, you know, both discuss about what jnana is, what karma is, how it can be helpful, and also the traps. As we said, some of the traps here. Here's one thing, when we studied Gita not long back, then this is a very nice way that Swami Paramarthanandaji explained about kamya karma, desire. He said about kamya karma, three, if you want to do an action because of desire, he says there are three different filters you should go through, the lowest to the highest, lowest which is easiest, till highest. So slowly, if you can do lowest, good. Then you want to do the medium, then you want to do the highest. So lowest, he said, that it's not doing any harm to anybody, not immoral, this. That's lowest one, he said. Next one, he said, middle one, is that it is always going to be done in moderation. And what is moderation? That it doesn't take my attention away from my duties and from my, you know, meditation, spiritual study. If it takes away from that, means it's not moderation because my attention is taken away. That's the middle one. And the last one he gave, the highest one, that it isn't something that is addictive, not controlling me. That it isn't. And how do I know that it's not that? It's that I can consciously drop it at will. Let's say I'm having coffee every day, morning, afternoon. Okay, now, done. What I used to do years ago, quite a few years back, I've gotten out of the habit, because I got into the habit of having tea, chai in the morning, afternoon. So I'd say, okay, let's say February, right? Once in a while, twice a year, I'd say February, right after February, there's no tea in February. So no tea, this month no tea, I wouldn't have done. Just to put it a check. So that way, otherwise, it's not under my control, meaning it's the boss, not me. And then what, like this. There's some cooking going on, so the smoke alarm a little bit happens sometimes. So in any case, so this is these three different filters from lowest to highest. And you know, so lowest, I'm sure, you know, that one is, for most people, a fairly easier one, spiritual aspirant. The middle one is next, to really see the moderation, but then that top one, eventually we have to strive for like this, in that as well, that it's not, you know, that isn't what is controlling. And again, all of these, it's not for torturing me that I won't get what I like in this, but that I will get less world-centric, you know, get unaddicted to the world so that I can, you know, look more at who's behind this. I want to see Shavasa Idam Saravam, but meantime I want to hold on to everything here. It doesn't work. It's like wanting to have the cake and eat it too. So slowly learning to let go like this, and then easier to focus on that. So some points about this. Let's conclude, and then if we want to have any questions about this or discussion about what we've discussed so far in this about this Upanishad, we can discuss. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So if anybody has any questions or confusions or comments, yes.
Gajanamji, I have a question. So you know how you mentioned drinking chai and those kinds of things, that dropping those is helpful. Those things, though they are difficult, you can at least directly have a solution of those things are controlling you. You can maybe have some discipline and have a routine and drop them. But then there are some types of situations that are kind of gray area, that are more difficult, that they are indirectly controlling you, but it's difficult to drop those situations or experiences that you keep thinking in your mind, okay, and then eventually those are controlling you because they're taking you away from the being in the present.
Like, just give it, like for example, what type of situation?
So let's say something happened and you had a conflict with somebody, and then that just keep repeating. That situation is controlling you.
Yeah.
And it's more difficult to drop that. And for a thing like a, you know, what you like to eat, at least there is a direct path. Those situations are more difficult to just tell your mind, stop it, stop thinking about it, don't think of it anymore and be present. Do you have any pointers on how to...
Sure. Because what happens is things that... First of all, I have to see that the things that trigger something inside me, that's the first thing I need to do, is to see the trigger is in me. The external thing just happened to help to trigger it. Because the thing is, if that trigger is in me, means that even if this person hadn't come or had done ways that I like, means the next one would have done it. Like this. Because if the potential wasn't in me, that wouldn't have happened. So that's the first thing I have to see, that I have to recognize that the thing is because of me, not because of the world, not because of the other things. So that's first thing. Once I see that, then that already opens the door that I don't need to just change the condition. It doesn't mean you never change circumstances, but for many things, it's not the circumstance, but I have to look at it differently. Then I have to see, what is it that is being triggered in me? Am I impatient with things? Am I judgmental things? Am I like this? And then I have something to work on like this. Now, of course, as Sakshi, nothing disturbs me or this, but means that's the root basis that I'm identifying as this individual. That's the root thing. But then within it, what are the things that are, you know, if I'm just Sakshi, there's no problem. But what is it that is binding me? What habit, what is making me hold on to that? Doesn't mean I resolve all of them all at once, but I can resolve somewhat. If, let's say, because I really want circumstance to be like this, if for some reason I have a strong desire for it, even if it's a good desire, but I can't always control the circumstance, so I have to learn just to surrender some of it because I can't just change the world. Then if I see it like that and see good, so it's an opportunity for me to be more flexible as things are. And then what if I start thinking like that, then maybe 1 out of 5 times I go through it more smoothly, right? And if I keep thinking like that, I can slowly have it less and less control me like this. And it takes effort on my side to do it. But if you manage to loosen that to some extent on one thing, it'll loosen on other things too, because they go hand in hand. The whole thing, Swami Shivananda and thought power, that he talks about, thought culture, in his book Thought Power, this really touches on this preparation, what you're talking about. And it's very important to look into those things. I recommend, if you happen to, look in Thought Power and everything. And time, you know, once in a while you go back to it and really, and act, because you have to, we have to build the you know, the habits within myself that will be less pushed here and there by the things of the world, and then by the whims of my mind next. But it'll never get totally resolved as an individual. It can't be. Only by self-knowledge, by jnana, can it really be totally resolved. But we can, you know, take it a long ways like this, for sure. So you know, also reminding myself, I'm an adhikari, I'm a sadhak, reaching for the highest. Whatever is there, the God has given me a circumstance for me to grow. So that's for my best, it's there. So if I look at it like this, so how am I, what is he teaching me how I can deal with this situation? You know, how can I do my duty best and just leave it in that way? And the thing is, part of the instruments we were given were intellect, were speech to express. There's so many things we were given. So it's not that there's just a book, this is what's going to do. So each circumstance we do need to deal with, but then, you know, but we can't, you know, we can't control the whole world. In the end, without detachment, still, you know, we'll still get caught in some of these things. So eventually vairagya needed for everything. But yes, it's a very good training ground to build up certain qualities of, you know, to build up certain qualities of being patient and everything, and not as caught up in the things, for sure, for sure. So again, nobody said it's going to just be simple, but the thing is, try to put effort like this in looking at it differently, in changing how I look at things for a few months, and then see where it takes you. Like this, it can make a huge difference like that. Okay.
So,
like, what I personally have seen is, you know, like, the political situation here has been a very good training ground for this. Because how much am I going to be caught up in that? How much is it pulling me away? And, you know, it is. It doesn't mean we don't have to have viveka for worldly things, what is, you know, in general a little better for society, what not, like this. But if it goes other way, you know, am I going to let it, you know, put me on my head, or I'm going to do what I can as duty and then just, you know, and do my duty and inquire into something deeper, or am I going to sin and complain and get upset like this? So very, very good training ground like this. Yeah. Good. And so, yeah, so really, you know, I recommend you have some time off, you know, take the thought power, look at it. And really, it's very good preparation putting these things into practice like that. Very, very good. Anything else last before we finish? Because we'll have the yoga class in a bit. Yes.
I don't know. Sometimes I get really mixed up with the philosophy, because there's like a lot of interesting ideas, and it's very difficult to kind of continue to apply it in the practical world, especially when you're going to work and you're going to school.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, like, I like the philosophy where you said do the action in a way that doesn't bind you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there is also another part of it where it's like, you know, don't think about the fruits of the action. Don't think about the results of that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're still trying to understand what is the goal, what is the outcome of all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of the outcome of it, you know, you're still thinking of the result of what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, once I consistently think of what the result is of what my actions are, and in terms of mixing in purification of the mind, how did it all play in? Like, are my actions and my goals really helping to purify my mind? Or, you know, for example, I want to go get my master's, right? I want to fulfill my master's so I eventually could, you know, obviously get higher income and have that higher income or a higher position be able to pay off any debts that I have or my parents have or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't necessarily know if that is helpful towards the purification of the mind. I just think of it as like an action or a duty to fulfill as I'm going along.
Sure.
You know, to fulfill that goal.
Sure.
So what are your thoughts? Like, can you expand a little bit on that so I can completely understand how to apply this in the practice?
Well, the thing is this. We're in the world, we have to play some role, right? So you have to eventually take something on and do it. So you decided the masters agree in this, so good. So you do it 100% and use that as a training. Meaning, okay, you have, there is some worldly goal in there too. Without a goal, how are you going to do anything? So you do that. Watch your mind when you're doing it, right? Watch your mind when you're doing. If you have devotion, do it as an offering. I'm going to study. And the, you know, that's why people offer. They get the, they get medal or they get some certificate they offer to the god as to remind them. So see it as, you know, you've everything, you changing how I see things is a, slowly over time you do. So in this way, see, okay, now I'm getting ready. Just like somebody gets ready for a competition or race and they're thinking all how they're going to do it. Part of the preparation for the exam, for the study, is how am I going to do it as just an offering? How can I do as an offering? I study with others. I help them as much as I can with it. I try to make my mind as organized as possible, as clear when I study, because a clear mind, I can introspect better too. It's preparing the machinery. If it's good at worldly things, analyzing, it'll be good at analyzing myself too. I have the same mind is used. So whatever qualities I can build from worldly things, I can use them after it's spiritual things too. This is other thing you can do. You know, and see, and whatever position I have, can I do it? How fully can I do it? How much can I, when not identify with meaning, I do it. When it's finished, I put aside, now I'm free. Now you spend time with your family. There's no job. I'm just that. Now you're studying this. There's no family, no school, only this. How much can I really be absorbed in it and then drop it? So different, you can find many. These are just a few ideas. I'm sure if we discuss a little more, we can find more and more avenues how to do it. One of the classes, next few classes, let's take some more time to look into, because these are just a few ideas, and we can probably come up with many more. And the thing is, an idea is a good thing, but then, you know, it has to be expounded and put into practice. And the more you do that, the more, you know, you can see, you know. That's why, you know, you see, you know, like they put Ram or Krishna as they have roles to do. They're doing the role, they're doing it completely. So you have a role to do, you take a role model like that, do it completely like they were to do it, like this. This is other thing you can see, yes. So you do things in the world, but do them in that, in a certain way like that. So these are a few ideas about that, how that can
okay,
be done.
And that's where I want to get to, because the philosophy is very strong and the values are very strong, but I want to be able to have it mixed into the setting, like the practical setting.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm at work, I want to have the values be applied. I want to have the philosophy be applied. It can't be applied every moment. I know there's a lot of distractions. You get on the phone, there's so many applications and there's so many things and like that. But I want to, for most part of my life, every day and every moment I live, at least I can apply it as much as possible in terms of what you're teaching us.
Well, the thing is, from karma yoga, slowly it can be applicable. Anything you do, because it can become ingrained in how you do something, why you do something. So there's no reason, you know, I can't say, I'm telling you from personal experience, I can do everything. Like, no, it's also, you know, learning, growing, this, I have a lot to learn. But there's no reason why it can't be applied, why we can't do everything as karma yoga. You know, we can strive for it. It's a much higher goal to strive for than to have the greatest position or fame or anything like this. Much higher goal to, if I just have that as a goal and I work towards it, you know, can learn more how to do it, because one has to learn to do. Because again, these are just a few ideas. If I take a few ideas and I really try to implement them, what a difference it'll make in this way. And again, these ideas we're talking about, remember, all that we discuss at the end now, exactly to do with this verse, which is, that is also preparation for jnana. It's not the end of it, but it makes be more eligible. What do I mean being eligible? That it'll be more easier to get to. Without it, it's going to be much harder to look into jnana without having, you know, without having purified through karma yoga, much harder to do. So that's why, yes, we should have this is a goal to get further in it. So, you know, next, what'll happen the next while in this, he's going to go, I mean, I'm talking as Shankara, but she as Shruti, whichever you want to call here, we'll look more into the jnana side, afterwards it'll go back to karma side. So when we get after a month and a half or so back to karma side, we'll dice this a lot more. And then, you know, we can discuss a lot more. And, you know, so next class we can first take that up, what you're asking, a little bit more. We can discuss separately a little bit. But it is, yeah, it's true. In order to deal with the world, we need that. Otherwise, you know, we get caught up so much easier in many things. Yeah, let's take some more time to discuss it just now. You know, the yoga class is already, you know, we're a little late for that because today's schedule got a bit messed up like this.